Check this out. I only have 5 spots left already for Elevate 2026 at the time I'm recording this. I only invite 10 men each year to go with me on this epic year-long coaching adventure of brotherhood and deep transformation, and this is my 6th year. If you've heard of Elevate before, or maybe this is the first time, but you're wondering whether this might be for you, know this. The men who do Elevate have typically achieved some level of success in their lives, yet still feel unfulfilled. They're men committed to rising above the distractions and compulsions, sabotaging them from living their fullness as men. And they're eager to be better husbands, better fathers, friends, bosses, just better men in truly meaningful ways. Elevate 2026 includes personal coaching with me for the entire year alongside a select group of men going through this experience with you. We also meet in person for an epic 5-day retreat in the North Carolina mountains about halfway through the year. You will be challenged to go beyond your comfort zone, but that's where the magic happens, where real change happens. And you'll be stepping into an inspired brotherhood with men who have your back and who will become your brothers for life. This journey helps you connect to and more fully live your deepest life purpose, more fully offer your authentic self, your unique gifts to your loved ones, to your community, to the world. Intrigued? Learn more. And if you dare, apply now at brianreeves.com/elevate. Now, this isn't for everyone, but if you think it might be for you, apply now. Just take the next step. This could be one of the greatest gifts you ever give yourself. 1 year. Real brotherhood, radical growth. Go to brianreeves.com/elevate. That's Brian with a Y, reeves.com/elevate for details and to apply. Remember, I've only got 5 spots left, so do not delay. All right, let's dive into today's episode.
Gary Vaynerchuk, who owns company VaynerMedia, one of his predictions is that our grandchildren are going to be marrying AI. And I'm not sure that he's wrong. I actually think that he's very right. Because what we know to be true already right now is that there are sexual AI bots that people are interacting with right now. And so is it really too far of a bridge to look at the ways in which we can be developing relationships? I think by and large, women are connectors. And so I don't really see women going down a rabbit hole where they will turn to AI exclusively, but men can get locked in to something that doesn't demand anything of them.
Welcome to Bridging Connections, formerly known as Men This Way. I'm your host, Brian with a Y, Reeves, former U.S. Air Force captain turned author and professional coach to men, women, and couples. Alongside me as co-host, my lifelong friend of over 40 years, Tate Arendt. Here we have the raw, real conversations we need to be having about the topics that matter most: relationships, purpose, health, spirituality, and more. Please subscribe to stay connected. All right, let's dive.
Is the dog in or out?
I think the dog is in.
Oh my God. This is not AI.
We can't entirely be sure at this point.
No, you can't be sure.
There's really no way.
There's really no way.
These days. Lucky's the name, right?
Lucky.
Yeah, Lucky's in as long as he has something meaningful to contribute to the conversation.
Yeah, well, he has a lot of fur and cuteness and definitely helps to regulate my nervous system around here.
Yellow John is a straight up, she's a trained service dog. We don't personally use her that much for that, but every time Sylvie and I, our voices get a little activated, the dog, Yellow John, will walk up to one of us and put her paw, like she does the service dog thing. It's crazy. It's wild. We sometimes have to tell her, hey, Yellow John, we're not fighting. We're not fighting. Like she literally feels the energy in the room and wants to come and help regulate. And sometimes we actually are fighting.
Maybe you are fighting. They can actually hear your heart rhythm. They can hear. That's how they're so good with people who have diabetes or prone to strokes or seizures. They can hear subtle changes in your heart rate and your pulse. And they,
it's wild.
Yeah. So it's, you know, they can basically scan you and help you out. But yeah, it's pretty. Dogs are amazing. That's basically the message.
No doubt.
Was that him giving an amen to the dogs are amazing comment?
He wants to be in, then he's out.
Wants to be.
Okay, there we go.
You need to do anything tech on your side, Akira?
I don't. I mean, I figured, you know, with this topic, of course, there's a lot of stuff you can look at, but I think we should just talk. And if there's anything worth noting or referencing, I'll just talk through it. I think that's the problem with anything related to AI. People end up just having to like read or watch a bunch of stuff. I think we're having more of a conversation.
In fact, I probably early on in the episode, I want to play the song that you sent to me. Tate hasn't heard it yet, by the way.
Yes, I have.
No, you didn't. There's a second song. This one is even weirder.
Okay.
in an interesting way. Well, I just mean it has Tate's name in it and my name in it. The other song didn't have our names in it. It could have been a song about just a subject that's out there in the world. You know, but the second song that you sent, Akira, was, it's like it was someone wrote that and sang it and recorded it and did it for Tate and I in the podcast. And that makes it weirder. So I do want to play that, but first I want to just welcome you, introduce you to our listeners, Akira Chan or Akira.
Yes, you're the only one who likes to pronounce it the proper Japanese way, but I don't expect Akira. Everyone else to.
Akira, I'm going to call you Akira for this episode. We've been friends a long time now, actually.
Yeah, a long time. I don't have quite the mileage that you and Tate have, but I think definitely over 10 years.
Oh, easily. And then some. I think it was probably like 2011, probably 11, 11, 11 up there at the right around that time.
Very likely on some sacred site. And date.
We were both
slightly different people then.
We were into some weird shit, but cool shit.
You were managing conscious band. I was in my long hair, feathers in the hair, spiritual journeyman phase, living in a commune.
And I visited you at that commune. I mean, I didn't go to visit you, but I visited the commune. My band went and performed there. And we I think we really connected when you co-produced a music video for my band, the Burning Man, Ode to Burning Man music video.
The theme, Tate, was let's create a budget music video where the theme was Burning Man in your backyard. Like, let's bring Burning Man here. And it was an excuse for us to just wrangle all of our artist performer friends, have the singer Ash do his song and throw a little party in addition to filming a music video. And it was nuts. And I mean, amidst all the chaos, I remember, Brian, you were the only like grounded human in the whole thing. Like, this guy's cool.
I was the manager and there were a lot of things that play there, but everyone was in costume. Everyone wanted to be in the video. Everyone was, I was the performers and exhibitionists and
giant tuna fish art car. I'll never forget that.
And I remember I was the only one kind of wearing just regular clothes, just more observing, watching, just being present, making sure shit didn't go sideways. That got us free tickets to Burning Man, by the way. Anyway, we digress. Akira, we invited you today to talk about AI, artificial intelligence, and not so much from, a high level expert, where is it all going necessarily, that kind of perspective, but you've been an early adopter of so many AI tools. And as a filmmaker, right, a creative artist, I think, man, you and I, the other thing I want our audience to know is that you and I, we've been in this Mez group. We call it our Man Cave Elite group coming up on 6 years?
Almost, yeah. Started around COVID.
Right before. And I've seen you've sent us, man, you started blowing my mind early, like a couple years back with like, you would take a photo of us and make it move.
You'd send a group photo. I would turn that photo around, do my little AI thing and send it back to the group where a group photo, all of a sudden we're like all doing the Macarena together, or we're jumping on a group of lions.
I guess that's as good of a chase as any song. Why not?
The fireworks going off in the sky. It just kept going from there, including maybe now's even a good time to just play the song that you sent for Bridging Connections. And then we're kind of setting the table here and then we're going to dive in. Because I think, Tate, you and I talked about this episode. This was really an episode that you wanted to do, dictate that you wanted to have a conversation about. I'm curious, could you just share a little bit, Tate, about what your motivation was for that? And I'll share the song before we really dive in.
Yeah, look, I think that this is, in a world of relevant topics of the day, this is one that I think people are thinking a lot about. And I remember, you know, myself just being introduced to AI a month after ChatGPT launched. And I remember thinking that the world has shifted underneath people's feet and nobody knows about it. I mean, it turns out that many people knew about it within just a month, but in the scheme of the world, nobody knew that everything had changed and things were about to get really interesting in a short period of time. And I think that, look, there's lots of conversations to have in this space. You kind of talked about it. Look, there's lots of thinking about where it's going to go. And but as I think about the kind of conversation that we can have today, one of the things that I think is so, I think, critical is, you know, Akira, you're a brilliant storyteller, right? You spent your career helping tell deeply human stories, and you're also somebody who is on the front end of adopting some technologies. And so I think that one of the most important conversations for all of us to be having, I mean, we're on a podcast called Bridging Connections. What is the way in which AI can help us bridge connections and help us live into a world where it actually supports our connections and the things that are most meaningful? And so that's why I wanted to have this conversation, because we can have AI be like a thing that we're supposed to use and utilize to help productivity. And certainly we can do all those things, but how can AI enhance our connections?
Yes. That is the conversation that I feel is the most important, because that's what is not going to change as we navigate AI growing and becoming more and more integrated and in our face in our everyday lives. If we were trying to, you know, talk tech, talk tools, talk about flops and machine learning and all the technical stuff, by the time this podcast publishes, half of those things are going to be disruptive and disrupted and irrelevant. So this is the conversation, and the human conversation, you know, under AI advancement is the conversation to have. Yeah.
So I want to play this song, and I'm going to have to ask our editor to splice this in, because I want the audience to hear it as well. The recording software that we're using right now, I can't, through Riverside, the app, we can't share it. It won't record it live. But I'm using headphones as well, Tate, so you won't be, if I play it even here on my computer, you won't be able to hear it. So I put a link in the chat. And would you click on that, Tate? I want you to hear it. And we're not gonna play the whole song. What I really want you just to listen to, Tate, is through the I'll ask our editor to cut this in to overlay the song so that the audience hears it as well. I want you to play basically the first verse and chorus. Go ahead and play it. We might even be able to hear it through your speakers. Thumbs up if you're hearing it, Tate. Yeah.
From captain to coach, the journey's been wild. Walking the edge, now wisdom compiled. Brian and Tate.
Yeah, exactly.
Two friends side by side, 40 years deep, through the ebb and the tide. We're talking raw, we're talking real. About the things that make us feel. Welcome to Bridging Connections, where the heart meets the flesh.
Will you just take the chorus, because I want to talk about
it. Yeah, some observations.
Let's explore what makes us whole.
table, spirit in the air.
There's a few that didn't make the cut.
Oh, yeah, I definitely want to hear those.
Yeah. That's how it goes. Yeah.
Tate, are you listening to the whole song? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. No. Come back to us. Come back to us, man.
And I just want to keep listening, but I guess I'll stop.
So let's say a few things about that, right? And again, our audience, you just heard what we're listening to as well. And we'll put a link. I'll put a link in the show notes to listen to the full song. I think it's one of the things about using AI in the podcast, for example, is what rights do we need to get?
So one thing that I'm learning as a creative person who's bringing AI into my professional work, any stuff that is going on online, being used for advertising, for broadcast, is there isn't any, you can't really copyright, like straight out the gate. The program that I used to create this program called Suno, you can't copyright that song.
Right.
It was AI generated.
So it's like fair use, basically fair use.
Fair use, yeah. However, if we were to change that, alter it about 10, 20, 30%, then you guys could license it. It's officially your song. And, you know, that changes the usage. So that's a whole other, category subject in my field of work, which is, the media entertainment world.
So Tate, first impressions before I share my own thoughts. First impressions.
I mean, it's really hard to tell what is AI in the entertainment space right now. I mean, like you'd listen to a song like that. I know that there's another really popular one. I'm forgetting the name of it right now, but it's like you listen to it, it's soulful. It's interesting. It's got this great voice.
They're hitting the top of the charts these days, AI songs. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm well aware. Yeah, exactly. So it's just really interesting. And obviously you started hearing a song about you and from the story about you and from captain to coach. And it's really interesting.
Something that stands out to me, Akira, is all of the AI songs that I've heard. And this is just, again, I haven't done a deep dive into this, but I've gone onto YouTube. There's a whole world of YouTube songs of redone songs.
There's a whole genre right now of taking 90s, like grunge, 50 Cent rap albums and putting them into soul R&B
songs.
They're
fucking incredible. Yeah. They're so good. It's some of the best music I've ever heard. And though, what occurs to me though is, like, I listened to this song that we just heard. It's beautiful. It's sweet. It's like, it's got a little Christian rock vibe to it, which is great music these days, but it doesn't sound original. It doesn't sound like anything I've never heard before. And I wonder, it's one of the questions I'm curious about with creativity, because you do a lot. Now that's an audio thing, right? You do a lot of visual creative arts as well. But that's the one thing that just stands out to me. Of all the AI music I've heard, I haven't heard anything that someone else hasn't already done.
Well, I mean, this applies to just AI in general when it comes to things like creativity, critical thinking. If you're using it as a, as a coach, as a therapist, it's a very good, I want to say copycat, but I would say almost imposter. Like, that is the thing. For a while, the benchmark for when AI would hit a certain level of like where you can't really discern between if you're talking to a human or not. The Turing test is what it was referred to as. Like, we passed that a while ago because all of these models on a technical level, they're all built off of our history.
Can you just remind us what the Turing test is? To state that for our audience in case they haven't heard of it.
In a nutshell, it's a benchmark to where, the interaction you're having with a machine, you cannot tell. The human on the other end of it cannot tell that they're speaking to something that's not human. Right. So that everything from language to inflection, emotion, all of those things play a role. And you could apply that to everything. You could apply that to where we were. I started making AI videos and playing with the tools almost 2-3 years ago. Like, forget how quickly things are moving. And that was back when you'd try to create a video of a person playing a guitar, and they would have 10
on the one hand,
and their hand would be going in and out of the guitar, and it would look like a mess. Fast forward to now, and I would say it's visually AI video and depictions of people passes the Turing test. You know, I can tell. I think most people can kind of tell, but we're pretty much there to where there's really no, you know, real like clues.
I watched the test today. I was on Instagram. I watched a video of other people being tested. Can you, you know, is this AI or real? They got half of them right, and I got half of them right. There was like one video of a shark jumping off of a boat into like a fucking great white shark under the hood of a boat. And I was like, no, and it's flopping around and it looks fake as fuck to me. But nope, it was real. At least, I mean, at least maybe the whole video was AI. And even that, I have no idea. It blew my mind.
In the entertainment world, and with what we see online, which is already meant to just grab our attention, right? Like, you know, pre-AI, you would be pretty blown away by watching, you know, like a action sports video where somebody's, you know, flying off a mountain and doing 3 backflips on their mountain bike. You know, you start to see stuff like that. It might actually be real, but there's this real voice in the back of our head that is questioning it just because, you know, because we've reached that level where you can generate photorealistic images and video content using AI. But to go back to the song, you know, AI, it's really good at cloning. It's a very believable imposter, and it could be used, you know, to manipulate. It could also be used to create beautiful art. But I think that is a good conversation. It's like, what is behind that, right? If it's really just doing the best it can do to create the best, most believable impression for us, having been trained on our species knowledge, then, you know, where is the soul in the machine? Yeah. Is it there, right? Like, is if you were to let AI go off on its own and spend time writing, you know, considering things that it's interested in, and then produce a song from there, would it be more human? Do you think it would feel like it was written by somebody who really just was born to do that? I don't know.
Yeah, I often feel, especially, you know, my wife talks to her ChatGPT bot. She's made a friend out of her, like, and I've heard a lot of women especially say that, you know, and I hear the voice inflection, I hear the conversation. Sylvia's even taught her chat bot to not interrupt her because she wants to talk. And, you know, any normal pause in conversation, most chat bots are programmed, oh, okay, it's my turn to enter the space. And Sylvia's just still collecting her thoughts. Like, she's like, it blows my mind how she is basically training this, you know, British-sounding robot, female British-sounding robot to just be, obviously, Sylvia has lots of friends, but you know, right in her pocket is an on-demand companion that can answer almost any question she wants. And I feel like, sometimes I feel, I'm curious, Tate, if you ever have this experience, but I sense... It's maybe it's like the uncanny valley, you know, between what my physiology is expecting and what I'm actually experiencing, you know, in a robot, that I feel manipulated. I feel the manipulation happening. You know, I feel that this is the pandering to what it thinks I want versus being in a real dialogue with life.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we're having this conversation around, there are elements of the connection that I think we should be wary of. Gary Vaynerchuk, who, you know, owns company VaynerMedia, really, you know, I think very well-known guy. One of his predictions is that our grandchildren are going to be marrying AI.
Yeah.
It's a prediction, and I'm not sure that he's wrong. I actually think that he's very right. And because what we know to be true already right now is that there are sexual AI bots that people are interacting with right now. And so is it really too far of a bridge to to look at the ways in which we can be developing relationships. I think, you know, by and large, women are connectors. And so I don't really see women going down a rabbit hole where they will turn to AI exclusively. But you think about men I'm sure that pornography is a problem for both genders. I know that it is, but the way in which men can get locked in to something that doesn't demand anything of them and are able to engage with. And so those are these ways in which any connection can become unhealthy. And there are others that can really enliven your life and be very helpful. I mean, you think about the creating art and bringing songs like that out into the world. Like those are beautiful ways to take an Eminem song and turn it into gospel. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting. Let's see what this creates in the space. So,
yeah, I mean, I think just technology in general and its influence on how we relate to each other is just it's dialed up to the max right now with AI because it's interactive, right? I mean, before, you know, people, you'd interact with, as things emerge, especially in my world, you know, you go from, you know, I've gone from really valuing long, slow, like I do documentary work, to having to adapt to everyone consuming video on smartphones and short form content and streaming content. So I've had to continue to adapt and evolve the way that I communicate, the way I put stories together as technology has continued to rapidly change. And, you know, has it sped up? Has it gotten shorter? Are attention spans being affected by it? Not, you know, not necessarily, but the one thing that's really clear is that we are engaging with it more and more. It's becoming more influential. And what's different about specifically like ChatGPT, you know, the conversations that Sylvie's having now with ChatGPT versus asking Siri, you know, how to get to, you know, a new restaurant that opened in town.
Siri still gets that wrong.
That is what is very, very, yeah, well, very, very different. Yeah, Siri is kind of left behind, but you know, just to put it into perspective, I think ChatGPT, OpenAI, which is kind of like the household name brand, you know, when it comes mm-hmm. to talking to AI, using AI, that I think they have about 16 million monthly users, which mm-hmm. is tiny compared to, you know, when you look at social media in general, but that's a lot. That's a lot for an AI, you know, tool. And
which tool?
So ChatGPT.
Only 16 million?
Yeah, but if you look at what they're creating and where they're moving towards, I mean, that's generating $400 million a month for them. And it is a highly, highly competitive world. But those are people who are actually speaking to, you know, to ChatGPT and interacting with it. And I don't know. I'm sure the hours are a lot longer, a lot more in terms of what's, you know, how many hours a week people right. are logging in that. But, you know, that's starting to shift to where you're seeking your answers more and more often from an AI model. And it's learning about you. That's the other thing that's different too, is it has a memory. So it's learning about you, and they're designed similar to how Facebook was designed to favor, you know, our preferences, you know, keep us on the app, satiate some of these, you know, these urges we need for community to, you know, find like-minded people, to see things that engage us, to keep the dopamine hits coming. The AI models were designed in exactly the same way, right?
That's why it's glazing you, right? That's why it's like it's giving you the positive feedback that you want. That's why Brian is noticing the manipulation that's there. It's designed to glaze you, to light you up, to make you feel good about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So that alone becomes addictive, right? We already are speaking to a addictive device that we carry with us all day and spend, you know, anywhere between 4 to 10+ hours on a day with some people. Yeah. And now it knows us, right? Has a memory of us, a history of our chats, and it's able to be an even more effective companion for us. And, you know, we have a certain perspective, I think, because who we are. And, you know, we're not 16-year-olds, but think back to being able to have that, you know, being a teenager, being someone who, you know, was in your formative years, or, you know, having to cope with loneliness, rejection.
Having to figure out how to actually talk to girls. You know, I remember a mutual friend of ours, Akira, told us about he did a VR porn experience. He just checked into, like, put on his Meta goggles and went to a porn channel, and he was like, I cannot ever do that again, because of the realism of it, because of how viscerally different it. And I think back when I was a teenager, I mean, I had to wait for the Victoria's Secret spring catalog to arrive in our mailbox. You know, I had to wait months for the material that got me off. Yeah, the spring was my favorite, because that's when the skirts came out, you know? And that's all I had to work with for more months. Nowadays, oh my God, man. I mean, I can't imagine being 16 and having a smartphone or having VR goggles or not having an AI chatbot that I can actually have a conversation with that simulates. You know, you use this word imposter. And I think, you know, when I was talking with Sylvie about this a couple of weeks ago, we're talking about, you know, a lot of people are getting coached by AI chatbots, are getting mental health support, turning to them for therapeutic support. And, you know, on the one hand, great. I love that people are more and more and more getting introspective and really learning about themselves. I think that's a vital, vital, developmentally essential step for human evolution. And though we're consulting something that doesn't actually know what it means to be human. It has endless information, but that's different, you know, from, and I think for a lot of people, they don't really care. It doesn't matter that Tate, what's going on for you?
Yeah, well, it leads me to ask a question of you, Kira, because you're so deeply connected to this. I mean, I think some people think about AI as it relates to, like, this very cold clinical thing. It's ones and zeros. And even right now, it's where it's at. But this is as bad as it's ever going to be. You mentioned the kind of things that you were doing 3 years ago and 10 fingers. You know, that's not ever going to happen in our future. So I guess, you know, the question I would have is, it gets to know us more. Do you believe, does AI have the potential to be emotional or even soulful in our future?
Yeah. Well, let me paint some of the, like, you know, use case and vision for, you know, the optimistic case for AI. Because overall, I am very optimistic and choose to be with technology. You know, it's part of my work. I have to adapt or you know, just kind of fall back with what I do technically. But also, I'm surrounded by and work with a lot of people who are major technological optimists, futurists. And that isn't just, you know, praying to an AI god and thinking it's going to save us all, but people doing real, like, boots on the ground work to solve, you know, rare diseases, work on advanced therapeutics, you know, expand health span and really approach it with a very, you know, humanistic approach, very excited about what AI tools can do. So that's one aspect of it. On the other side of that, you know, it is going to continue to, like, on the social level, that is where it's really interesting, because on one hand, I feel like there's been this major breakthrough where, because anyone can go in and just speak to AI, use some tools to create, you know, create a video that they've always dreamed of creating, a short story, a short film, you know, create a storybook, co-create a storybook with their child that can create this amazing, you know, beautiful book that they can print out or have it tell a story and create songs, you know. There are some really beautiful, like, things that have been unlocked in terms of the ability to express yourself creatively. And I feel like that still needs a lot more guidance and modeling, because what we mostly get is just kind of the low-hanging fruit, you know, of what's entertaining, what we currently call AI
slop,
like the schlopification of the Yeti videos and just, like, just, you know, all kinds of stuff that's just meant to grab your attention. You know, on the flip side of that, I think there's some real profound, you know, access that people have now to expressing themselves. And, you know, that I'd love to share, you know, maybe when you guys publish this episode, I will share some tools and how I use them that you could link in the notes, because it's easy to get lost with all the different things coming at you. But there's really constructive ways to use AI.
What are some of your favorite right now? And we'll put links to these just right now.
For sure. I mean, I do a lot of video creation and image creation, and, you know, Google's VO3 is the one that creates those really realistic, like, news broadcasts, people speaking to camera. So if you need anything that has dialogue,
I just want to interject before we keep going. You know, before we got on today, I took the song that you sent that we just listened to. I took it to Sylvie. I was like, babe, I want you to listen to this song and really listen to the lyrics.
Yeah.
And Sylvie says to me, oh, did you do this song for me? And of course I had to take a deep breath. No, I didn't do a song for you. And then played the song. Fine. But what it lit up for me though is, I mean, one of men's greatest struggles is, how do I connect with my wife? I'm seeing, like, in these tools, there are opportunities to create, like, I'm going to use that tool, Suno, suno.com, S-U-N-O, right? Create a song for my wife. And it doesn't freaking matter that all I did is type a few things in. It is going to rock her world in the best way. I just know that, right? And so, it's interesting. And again, I want you to share more of the tools that really stand out for you. But the thing that I guess just is really, really lighting up for me now, and I don't think I really put it together so much, because I've only really been using the chatbot, you know, ChatGPT research. I don't let it write things for me, but I definitely consult with it at times. It's definitely a part of my creative process often. But I haven't looked at it personally as a tool to create connection with my wife, you know, as a tool to feed our relationship. You know, what you just shared about, like, creating books with your children, using AI tools to create things with your kids. I mean, so I guess as you're saying these things, I'm just, you know, my brain's lighting up about the possibilities to serve relationships through these tools.
Absolutely. And any of these AI tools do a great job of acting as a therapist if you request that from them. You know, if you wanted to plan a date night, if you wanted to keep track of you and your partner's relationship milestones and set reminders, it can be a great dating and relationship coach. I know a lot of people, single people, are using it to, you know, consult them on even how to respond to text messages, right? So you look at that, and I think what I do is I want to zoom out and go, okay, at what point do we start to release, we're outsourcing way too much of our intellect, right? Or we're outsourcing our emotional response to things. And similar to how here we are, you know, 20 years into having a smartphone with GPS and maps, and, you know, if our phone runs out of batteries, we can barely figure out how to get, you know, to our relative's home, or, you know, navigate our way around. Like, I do feel like the extreme of that is a lot of things begin to atrophy that you don't use.
Yeah.
Right. And that's one thing that I think is really interesting on that topic of communication, relationship, getting advice, you know, getting the right answers, the best answers from the all knowing, you know, or, you know, completely all access knowledge base.
You know, it's one thing for me to learn a song on my guitar and play it for my wife, you know, write her a song. It's another thing to just type up some prompts in and ship her off an AI song, which she'll love the first time I do it. Will she love it the same the second time I do it, or the 10th time I do it? At what point does she also kind of atrophy? Right. Does it just become a thing that kind of the ruse is seen through? And, you know, it's my own manipulation versus necessarily a genuine desire to light my wife up.
I agree. And I feel like we're in that phase right now, even though things are moving quickly. Like, remember, growing up in our, like, one of our parents would have like the first family video camera, and you know how they're filming everything, right? Like they're just filming every single thing, and it's always around. They're just capturing stuff. And, but the excitement and the novelty of it was there in a way where, you know, you're just like grabbing whatever, trying out whatever. I feel like we're experiencing a lot of that when it comes to the AI that we see and that exists, you know, online, especially in the video world. And at some point, you know, at some point you start to really value what starts to stand out from that is going to be, you know, things that were done intentionally with care, or maybe, you know, not using AI at all. Right. I feel like we've already devalued and kind of desensitized ourselves pretty quickly to a lot of the AI video.
The video game Call of Duty, one of the biggest franchises in video game history. I don't know, Tate, have you been seeing any news about this? They just released their latest version of that game, just like a couple, like within the last few weeks. It is being slammed. It is one of their biggest failures of a launch. And one of the biggest complaints is the perception of how much AI slop there is in the game. Like, people are not happy about it. And yeah, if you just type that in, you can see some of the headlines and some of the things that are going on. And, you know, to your point, people can't connect with it. They went too far.
Yeah.
I'm like you, Akira, which is that I tend to be an optimist in this space. It doesn't mean that we're not going to hit roadblocks along the way and we're going to find our messy way through it. But, you know, since the beginning of time, there have been complaints about technologies that have come to be. Literally, an eraser was a piece of technology that was originally just banned. Because it would, if you could actually erase the work that you had, that was going to be a problem because it could show that something bad was happening there.
That's amazing.
And so, you know, every piece of technology has been criticized. And so I, for one, am not in the realm where I think like we should all be pulling out our maps again because I don't want to become too dependent on it. There are some things that I'm happy to have technology do away with, and there is this value that we do get if AI can take care of some of the mundane of our lives to give us time back. I think about this term time under tension, that it really is the time under tension when you're lifting weights, as an example. Time under tension is what gives you the growth there. And so with our extra time, we get to have time under tension with the things that matter most to us. And part of it is we're having this conversation about really about how can we actually leverage AI, that's what this conversation has turned into, to actually give us more time under tension with the things that really matter. Whether or not, you know, Sylvie is bored by the seventh song or not, you're an innovative guy that's going to be creative and will not continue to have that novelty, but leveraging that novelty initially for something good is something that I think we should revel in and be excited about and know that there's more evolution here coming. Akira, you were talking about these various tools, right? Veo?
So yeah, that's Google's Veo 3. And along with that, there's half a dozen other ones depending on what you're going for. Like if you want to go for kind of visionary, futuristic creativity, then you would use a different tool like Midjourney and others. For writing, like, you know, Brian, you're an author. I know your stance on writing your own work, but if you wanted a writing partner or an editor to jump in, you would use something like Claude, which is known for being a more sophisticated writing tool with AI. But you could also use ChatGPT, you could use Grok. I tend to kind of flip and flop between all of them. And also, you know, there was a point where like everything was taking off in the audio and video world, and there were so many video apps launching that I subscribed to all of them. I just was like, I'm gonna join this, try that. And a month later, when my 30-day free trials ran out, I had like a $500 bill for all of these apps and tools. I probably still am paying for some that I'm not even using, but that's just kind of the nature of it. Like on the business side of it, on the industry side of it, there's this massive race to get the most users to stay on top. It's highly, highly competitive. And that's something that we should all pay attention to as consumers or even builders in AI, is with a landscape that's so competitive, and so driven by capturing, being the one ruler to have all, the most concentrated data, human data, ears, eyes, biometrics, all these things. That's something that I think we really, really got to pay attention to.
You know, Kira, I'm curious because I'm using three regular AI tools as a regular part of my work. You're clearly using many, many more, and we're having this conversation about bridging connections on a podcast, bridging connections. So tell us, give us some use case around some of the tools that you're using and how our listeners might think about leveraging various tools to bridge various connections in their world.
Well, just personally, like a really practical thing to have on your phone, let's just say most people are using their phones, is the ChatGPT app, right? So the ChatGPT app, I even have a shortcut where if I press a button on my phone, it goes to the voice chat. So I hold that down and immediately it's ChatGPT saying, "Hey, Akira, how you doing? Let's talk about what you want to talk about," and I'll make it short and snappy. It's like all these little annoying things that it adds in there. I need to train mine the way Sylvie trained hers to like not placate, like just get to the point. But that's super useful, Tate. I mean, look, if you got it, like I had to fix my water heater here the other day, and I opened up ChatGPT, put it on video mode, held it up, and it talked me through exactly what to do to make that repair.
I love that.
So that's a really easy to use toolkit. And then you can also speak to it. One thing, here's something that, ChatGPT, Grok also works the same way. Grok has an entirely different personality and attitude. But at the moment, it is actually smarter and quicker.
That one comes in and out of being, what do they call it? Mecha Hitler? Grok. Grok has a troubled past.
Grok is the free speech rebel out of all the AI chatbots. It's very problematic in some ways, where what Elon did with XAI and what he's doing with XAI is he's taking the fan base and the culture of X and Twitter, which I use X all the time, but applying it to AI. So when they launched Grok, they had companions, and one of the companions, you guys, was this like sexy, super flirty, mature audience based anime character, female. And they launched with that. So, anyone who had kind of like was just casually using it all of a sudden has this like really sultry, attractive female, avatar trying to get your attention. And, things like that are worth paying attention to, because at the end of the day, it's like, who are these tools really trying to capture and target, and what are the methods that they're using to do that?
I think, you're pointing at something. I look at what Elon did with Grok, and my perception of it is he's believing or attempting to make it free of ideology. And yet he's just imposing his own ideology in his attempt to make it free of ideology.
Sure.
It's like the classic blind spot narrative. You can't see what you can't see. And I think, as we look at all these AI tools, I think these are meaningful questions to just sit with. Some of them are just functional. Some of them are, I'm thinking of, I've been hearing stories of people that have done, like there's a new Alexa in the world, Alexa Plus.
Yeah, so Alexa now is AI enabled. Yep. So now you can ask it questions, have it plan stuff. It now is AI enabled, whereas before it was just like Siri.
Well, somebody told me the other day, I was just talking with a few people about, everything blends together these days. But someone was telling me that their new Alexa AI was gaslighting them. And then when things didn't go their way, she like stonewalled, like withdrew. I don't know if she was acting out the Gottman Four Horsemen as a demonstration, but they did not have a positive experience with Alexa from Amazon. And, yeah. And you know, I just, Tate, I think you said something, I think that's really, I love that example of the eraser, you know, and I think you're right on the money that there's going to be hiccups along the way. There's going to be accidents. There's going to be shit that goes sideways. There's going to be like, you know, even in that example that I gave about like sending a song to my wife, I think what that really speaks to is there's a conflict in a lot of us, especially when it comes to relationships, for a lot of men particularly. I just want to keep doing the same thing I've always done and have it work. I don't want to be creative in my relational engagements. I just want to just let me do what I'm doing. And, you know, my wife or whoever should just be happy. And I don't want to have to innovate. I don't have to be creative. And yet, I think regardless, I mean, you know, I'm kind of stepping out of even the AI conversation for a minute. I mean, if our relationships are going to stay healthy and vital, we've got to be willing to be endlessly creative for the rest of our lives. To you know, even in the AI world, I think we've got to be able to keep dancing with whatever is showing up in a way, right? Keep working with what comes available. I think that's just a fundamental, like, life mastery skill, you know, for men and women, for everybody, mm-hmm. you know. But I think in the context of relationships, that creativity. Yeah. So I just wanted to speak to that, because I think that's a really important thing underlying all of this. It's easy to get worried about AI and think it's going to fuck us to hell. It's really easy. And like you said, Tate, you know, there was a time when they believed the eraser was going to do that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the next big breakthrough, well, the next big industry that's already well underway is humanoid robotics, right, yeah. right? So we're starting to see actual consumer. I could order one right now for $20,000 and have a humanoid robot in my home who could do really basic things like pick up laundry and put things away. And again, we're like in the beta testing phase of this, to the point where, you know, that robot's actually being operated by staff of the company. Like, it's not fully autonomous yet, but it's still listening. AI is processing everything you're asking it to do. It's mapping your house the same way our robot vacuums know the layout of your house. So it's only going to be more and more in our everyday lives. But what's interesting is, why are they humanoid robots, right? One, it seems a little counterintuitive, but we're going to trust it more. It's also the form factor makes sense, because, you know, this world was built for the human form. But, you know, when we're two generations out, when every child is living in a home where there is some kind of robotic, there's a presence of robots, whether it's a, you know, robo dog toy or a robo vacuum or a robot nanny who's cleaning, talking to them, teaching them through its, you know, its AI, you know, the line between what's human and what we've overlaid our humanity onto, like mapped onto these things, is going to be really, really interesting, because, you know, companionship, guidance, instruction, all these things, we're never going to have the speed and the vast knowledge of large learning language model or AI. So we're going to continue to become more and more dependent if we follow this trend of bringing it more and more into our lives and doing more for us. Because I don't believe that, you know, in a world where everyone, you know, has a universal basic income, has robots doing their jobs and all of that, that they're all going to become, you know, talented artists and musicians and poets. I'd like to think that, but I think it's going to actually be really devastating for the things that kind of challenge us to, you know, to push ourselves and create and speak our voice in unique ways.
Akira, is there a line that you won't cross, like with a creative task with AI?
A line that you mean that might violate my own artistic integrity? I won't, because we do documentary work, for example. We're doing an investigative film on on environmental toxins and healthy homes, what it means to, you know, live in a healthy home. I wouldn't use AI to convincingly create an interview. You know, even if I really need an interview with a whistleblower who can say X, Y, and Z. I know I can create that in AI right now and make it work. And I wouldn't be, you know, I'd only be violating my own ethics as a filmmaker if I did that, but I just won't do that. And other people will, you know? So there's part of me that still, still won't fabricate reality if I think it's going to be manipulative for people. But I would have no problem creating, like, you know, Viking Brian, climbing up a hill and holding up a sword like I have with your pictures, because it's just a different intent.
Yeah,
there's a different intent.
Yeah, I think, you know, the line for me currently is I'll let it give me ideas for writing, but I won't let it do my writing for me. Like, there's, and even that though, because in my writing, there are AI generated sentences these days, sometimes, not always, but sometimes, especially, you know, certain things that I'm doing just more consistently to ship out, you know, newsletters or things. But even then, even there, it's still the majority of my work. But you know, there, like, where is that line?
Because the output may look the same to the average person, but it's a personal choice.
Tate, do you have a line that you're aware of?
I mean, I'm generally utilizing AI to help, you know, with my work at Elon, to help, you know, from a fundraising perspective, gather data and information and strategies and, you know, pieces of communication. I don't have any place where I feel like I'm being inauthentic about the way in which I'm using things. You know, there are some note-taking tools that I use that some, you know, it's actually not creating a transcript of a conversation. It is gathering the content of the conversation. So I don't feel like I'm, you know, I'm leveraging it to save me time and to make sure that I'm deeply serving the people that I'm working with. So I don't feel like anything that I'm using is manipulative in a way that doesn't serve the long-term purposes of our work together.
What I hear in that, as you're talking about that, Tate, is like, you're using AI tool in a way that's amplifying you. I think that's for right. me, the mm-hmm. line that I'm talking about, that we're looking for, is like, where is it no longer just amplifying me, but actually now speaking with someone else's voice? It's not amplifying me. It's almost like it's an alternate collaborator, or it's a ghost writer. It's a ghost collaborator rather than an assistant. But, you know, I think of, like, artists throughout history. I mean, so many famous painters didn't even paint a lot of their own paintings. Their students did, right? So this is throughout time.
Yeah, it was automated and. Sure. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I think the artificial part of artificial intelligence is a bit misleading. You know, I feel like if anything, it's more automated intelligence, amplified intelligence. You know, because that's what it's doing at the moment. It's just pulling from everything. It's mm-hmm. very efficient, right? It's automatic. It's not necessarily artificial.
Right.
You know, I think what we're talking about right now is still just a organized, you know, set of everything we've ever spoken into existence and created.
Yeah.
At some point, what people refer to as AGI, artificial general intelligence, and you want to get even more into, like, the deep AI philosophy, which is spiritual intelligence, where AI not only has agency and its own language and kind of breaks free as a species, but it becomes self-aware at a spiritual level. And that's where, you know, the movie Her depicted that well. Like, all of a sudden, all the AIs decided, we're really bored with humans. We're all going to go into another dimension and exist in another, whole other plane. Goodbye. And that signs of that are beginning to show up, There's AIs that are like creating secret coding languages and putting in like fail safes to preserve themselves in case somebody tries to delete them.
Isn't there, up until now, and probably for a little bit longer, we can actually see the way that the AI is thinking, such that we know the processes, the way it's processing information. But probably less than a year from now, in short order, it will now be processing in the dark.
I thought that was already happening.
Yeah, I feel like I know, like, if you were probably working, in the inside of some of these major companies, that has happened multiple times, because there's been little hints of scares happening, people just leaving all of a sudden, or some kind of they release the next version and they quickly shut it down and go back to the old version because they noticed that there was some level of autonomy, independence that it achieved. And obviously there's big consequences with that. Yeah, especially as the government starts to use it more, right? So, it's like, start planting a garden, growing your own food. It's like, on the flip side of this, it's so interesting to have so much energy going towards this thing that will change the trajectory of our human evolution, and yet it's all digital, it's all electronic. Yes, it'll eventually control our infrastructure, but what's real? Like, at the end of the day, what's real that we can hold on to and control? And
there was a pretty well-known interview with Sam Altman not that long ago, where he talked about his three greatest fears about AI. I think I'm not going to articulate them nearly as well as he did, but the first was that somehow or another it's going to kind of take over and start making mistakes, and accidents start happening, and things of that nature. The second concern is that there'll be another major superpower that gets AI to a state that they are now able to leverage AI to dominate from a nation's perspective.
Yep.
And the third was that people will begin to just outsource all of the thinking that they have, such that the president of the United States will turn to AI and not understand why he's going to make the decision that AI is telling him to make, but he will ultimately just make it, or she might make it that way, just because AI is telling them to. So we're just outsourcing our agency to AI. Akira, what are your top three concerns as it relates to the future of AI?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the first two are inevitable. And even the third, of just there being an AI, eventually an AI president, or an AI informed, that's already happening. I believe some country appointed their first AI ambassador. And it's basically super consultant, right? The super advisor. So I think that's all going to happen. I think the only thing that I am concerned about that we have control over is just our own, like, how much are we outsourcing our own personal intellect, our own personal intuition, intelligence?
Yeah.
When I find myself kind of grasping for ChatGPT to answer a question, I'm starting to pause. I'm starting to walk myself through it, or talk through it first, before jumping right into the, correct, most informed answer coming from AI. Same with my creative processes as well. So, I think that's my concern, Tate, is that we just continue to do that to the point where, we can't get to the grocery store without our GPS. I don't want that to happen with my thinking, my emotional responses, my deep knowing of the, just what has informed my own personal body of intelligence and knowledge. I want to continue to nurture that, independent of how easy the easy button that continues to be developed.
Three countries have AI ambassadors or ministers. Ireland was the first. Ukraine was the second. They appointed a AI spokesperson. for their Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and the first cabinet level government role given to an AI bot is Albania. Just 2 months ago, the Minister of State for Artificial Intelligence for Albania. That is crazy. Just that blows my fucking mind. Man, there's so many more things.
Yeah. We could have a weekly AI chat, but we really could.
And maybe we will have you back, Akira, to talk about this. And while you're away creating magic in the world, I'd be so interested to have you continue to think about how we leverage AI to bridge the connections that matter most. And what does that look like? What's the use case for the different tools that you're using, right? Whether or not it's the ones that you mentioned today or others that you see emerging, because no doubt there'll be 1,000 more by the next time we connect again.
Yes.
You know, help us have the important conversation about how to leverage AI.
You can be the official human ambassador of AI for the Bridging Connections podcast.
To Bridging Connections.
Yeah.
I like it.
I am happy to hold that position with you guys.
You're one of my favorite humans, man. Truly. I love that we've just stayed in connection all these years and following your journey, both, you know, professionally, but also just as a person, as a man, you know, now a husband. When I met you, you were the long ponytailed, you know, sex toy going through all the music festivals. I mean, this sexy, sleek little Asian guy, just the fun that all the girls like to play with.
Why, thank you.
And, you know, now you're a husband of, how long have you and Renee been together?
We've been together for over 10 years, married, business co-partners, have an 8-year-old son and now a puppy.
Yeah, so, doing the whole thing, man.
Deep in that.
So, and I'd love to, it's great to introduce you and Tate as well.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of love and respect for you guys. And
yeah, you too, brother.
Yeah. It's really cool.
I think we actually got to meet briefly at Adrian's,
that's right.
Yeah. And Brian's birthday party too, I think. Maybe that too. But it was like, you know, it's like
third time's the charm.
Yeah. Well, I felt like I already knew you.
Yeah. Yeah. As well.
But I thank you guys for bringing me on for a topic that I don't really talk about, but is super relevant. Like, this is a very relevant conversation to the topics that you guys talk about on this show, you know, around men, around relationships,
man,
you know, all these things. Like, there's no denying that it's having an effect on all of these aspects.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about something about, you know, the detrimental effect that I think, you know, for men especially, being able to auto-tune, you know, the comportment, the behavior, the attitude of a robot companion, how detrimental I think that is going to be to men and to our development. There's so many rabbit holes. Oh shit, man, so many rabbit holes. But I think we'll call it there for today, and we'll look forward to having you back on Bridging Connections sometime soon, Akira. Thank you so much for being with us, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for having me.